بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today, inshallah, this first day of Ramadan, we ask Allah that He grant us success and ease in doing that which is pleasing to Him, in fasting and prayers and charity and dua and reading Quran and all the good that Allah has legislated, an example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's all right, no problem. Today is our 24th session, and today, inshallah, we're going to try to complete, if not all, most of what is remaining of our review from the level one book. Okay, we have a few chapters remaining, and inshallah, today we might be able to finish all of them. If we're not able to finish all of them, we're going to do as much as we can. The chapters that are remaining are very short chapters, they're just small points. But they're important for us to understand. So we're doing review today. Today is review. That means if there's something that you don't understand today, you got to get it today. If you didn't understand it before, you have to get it today. Okay? Because once we finish this book and we go to book one, these are things that you have to know. You should already know these things. Okay? So we're reviewing to make sure if you missed something or you didn't understand it or you didn't remember it well, this is your chance today. Okay? So ask any question that you have, inshallah. In the previous class, we covered from the last 10 chapters in review, we covered lesson number 43, lesson number 44, I'm sorry, lesson number 45, lesson number 46, and lesson number 47. Okay? Lesson number 44, 45, 46, and 47. Okay, who can remind us briefly of what we covered in those lessons? Any of the points that we covered in the last four lessons. Lesson 44, 45, 46, and 47. Anybody remember anything from it? Okay, I should help you then. Huh? Okay, something related to Ta'amabuta, and what else? What else? Naam. Okay, the main point that we covered in lesson 44 and 45, what we talked about words that end with tanween. But not any tanween, okay? We don't mean tanween when they're two dhamma or two kasra. We mean what? Two fatha. Whenever a word ends with tanween and they're two fatha, then there are some special rules. The general rule is that words, the general rule, is that words that end with fathatain. Fathatain. Naam? Okay, then they are written with an aleph at the end of the word. An extra aleph is added to the end of the word. Any word in the Arabic language, general rule, any word in the Arabic language that ends with fathatain, two fatha, there's going to be an aleph written at the end of that word, an extra aleph that's not really part of the word. It's added. What is it added for? Why we add it? What is it there for? What's the purpose? Is it just written just to use up your ink? What's the purpose? Anybody help me? What is it for? Huh? What about if you want to continue? You use it. How do you use it if you want to continue? If you want to continue? You elongate if you want to continue? Uh-oh. Okay, look, we don't want to get confused, right, and complicated. The matter is very simple. This is a simple rule. We got two exceptions to it. Before we go to the exception, I want to explain the rule to you. The rule is, a word that ends with fatha, tanween fatha, two fatha. Those words in Arabic language are going to be written with an extra aleph added to the end of the word. Purpose of that aleph is that if you stop on that word, if you stop or pause on that word, you're going to pronounce it as though the fatha of the tanween is being elongated by aleph. You're going to read it as though the fatha of the tanween is being elongated by aleph. Fatha is elongated by what letter? Aleph. So if you have a fatha and an aleph, that means it's elongation, right? Two counts. So if you see a word like kitab that ends with two fatha, you say kitaben, right? But there's going to be an aleph written there to tell you that instead of pronouncing the tanween as an, kitaben, instead of pronouncing it as an, then if you stop or pause on that word, pronounce it as though that aleph is elongating the fatha of the tanween. So instead of pronouncing kitaban, you're going to pronounce it what? Kitaba, kitaba. That's all it means. All it means is that fatha is normally elongated by aleph. So that aleph is added to tell you that whenever you stop on that word, it's like it's elongating the fatha of the tanween. So instead of pronouncing tanween an, kitaban, you're going to pronounce it kitaba, like it's kitab, fatha, aleph, kitaba. That's all. But if you keep reading, forget about the aleph. What are you going to do? Pronounce the tanween normally, like you normally pronounce any other tanween. Kitabun, kitabin, kitaben. You're going to pronounce it like tanween. Tanween means what? Pronounce the vowel, fatha, kasra, or dhamma, with an N sound, the sound of noon. So you say, kitabin, kitaben, kitabun. Pronounce the vowel as though there's an N sound, the sound of noon. That's why it's called tanween. Tanween means you pronounce the sound of noon. Alright? So if you keep reading, you pronounce the tanween regular. If you stop on it, that aleph is to remind you. Don't pronounce the tanween, pronounce it as though the aleph is elongating the fatha. That's it. Simple as that. Good?
Yes.
Tayyib. Now the exception. That was in lesson 45. The exception actually was explained first in lesson 44. There are two exceptions. Okay? One of the exceptions is what the brother said. Words that end with ta marbuta. And the other exception is with words that end with hamza, hamzatul qat, that's preceded by aleph. A word that ends with hamzatul qat, and it's preceded by aleph. And I don't see any word here that I can refer to, and I don't have a marker. Alright, so just in your mind, think of a word like, for example, sama'un, seen, fatta, mean, fatta, aleph, sama, with hamza, tanween, sama'un, right? That means the sky, sama'un, sky, what is above, right? As-sama'u, the sky. A word that ends like this with an hamzatul qat that's preceded by aleph, aleph is before it, sama', long vowel, fatta, aleph, right? Sama', then hamza, hamzatul qat. Un. If that word that ends with hamzatul qat, that's preceded by aleph, has instead of two dhammas or two kasras, has two fattas, because this is the rule we're talking about, words that end with two fattas, right? If it has two fattas, sama'an, sama'an, in this case, we said that words that end with, we said that words that end with fattatain, words that end with fattatain, that they are normally written with an extra aleph at the end of the word, right? But this word is an exception. The aleph is not going to be written. Okay, there's an aleph already before the hamza. So we're not going to write another aleph after the hamza. Alright? Okay? This is an exception to the rule. No aleph is going to be written. That's the exception in this case, that no aleph is written. But as far as the rule of reading is exactly the same as what we said with the other words that end with two fattas. The rule is the same. If you keep reading, you read it as tanween, an. Sama'an. But if you stop on it, you read it as though there's elongation of the fatha. Sama'a. Same rule. You read it as what? As though it's elongation of the fatha. Though, even though the aleph, the extra aleph is not written. That's why we say this is an exception. This word, any word in Arabic language that ends with hamzatul qat and before it is an aleph of elongation, we're going to read it the same way we read the normal rule of words that end with two fattas, but we're not going to write the extra aleph. Okay, you're not going to see the aleph. So now you have to remember the rule. The aleph is there to help you remember, right? But this time no aleph is written, so you got to remember on your own. Yeah. First thing is, whenever you see a word end with two fattas, just apply that rule. Even though in this case, these special kind of words, the aleph is not going to be written to remind you. But anyway, just apply the rule. The rule is, tanween fatta. When you stop on it, you can pronounce it as though it's elongation. Fatta aleph. The aleph is written to remind you of that. But in these words, the aleph is not going to be written. But the rule is the same. If you keep reading, you say sama'an. Sama'an. But if you stop or pause on it, you say, sama'a. Good? That's the exception. That's the first exception. The other exception is words that end with tar mabuta. Words that end with tar mabuta. What do we mean tar mabuta? We mean the ta, right? That's sometimes called the closed ta. Closed ta, huh? Like here. This closed ta, right? It's written in the shape of ha, huh? Like the end of the alphabet. Lam, mim, noon, ha, wow, and ya, ha. It's written in the shape of a ha, but it has two dots of ta. So this letter we said, ta, marbuta, is a special letter in Arabic language. It has two ways to read it. You can read it like ha, or you can read it like ta. It looks like a ha, but it has the dots of ta. So you can read it both ways. But you have to read it like ha sometimes, and ta other times. What's the rule? When do you read it like ha, when do you read it like ta? Naam.
Ha, when you stop.
Uh-huh.
Ta, when you continue.
Naam. If you stop on it, you read it like ha. Like we say, Salah, Zakah, Mecca. That's ta mabuta on the end. But we don't pronounce the T. We don't say Zakat. Huh? We don't say Salat. Huh? Alaykum As-salam wa rahmatullah. Okay? We don't say Zakat. We don't say Salat. Because that ta marbuta, if you stop on it, you don't pronounce like T. You pronounce like Ha. But if you keep reading, connecting it to something following it, then naam. If you keep reading, then you pronounce it like ta. Naam, like naam. You say Salatul Isha. You say Zakatul Fitr. You pronounce it like T, Zakatul Fitr. Huh? But that's if you keep reading. But if you stop on it, you pronounce it like ha. Okay? That's ta marbuta. That's ta marbuta. Allahumma sta'an. Tayyib, alright? Ta marbuta. So what is ta marbuta? It's a letter, a special letter in the Arabic alphabet that's written like ha, the shape of ha, but the dots of ta. We pronounce it like ha if we stop on it. We pronounce it like ta if we continue reading. Now, there's one other rule about ta marbuta that we said, very important. When you want to know, if you want to explain to somebody something about ta marbuta, you can tell them that it's written like ha, has two dots of ta, it's pronounced like ha, if you stop, it's pronounced like ta, if you continue reading. But there's one more thing very important you have to tell them about. What? The ta marbuta always has to be the last letter of the word. In Arabic language, you can't write a word with ta marbuta and follow it with another letter. Ta marbuta is always the last letter of a word. Can't be any other letter following ta marbuta. Right? So, for that reason, when a word ends with ta marbuta, and it has tanween fatta, two fattas, we can't write the aleph. The aleph that you normally write with a word that ends with two fattas, you can't write the aleph. Why? Because you can't put any letter after ta marbuta in a word. Huh? Ta marbuta has to be the last letter of the word. It can't be followed by any other letter. So we're not going to write an aleph here. Okay? So, this is the explanation of why the aleph is not written. But now that it's not written, what's the rule for Tarmabuta? Words that end with Tarmabuta. What's the rule? The rule for Tarmabuta is an exception to the rule of the general rule of words that end with Fattatain. It's an exception to that rule. The first exception is that no aleph is written after it. And the second exception is that you do not pronounce it like an extended Fatta, elongation Fatta aleph. If you stop on it, you don't pronounce it like that. If you keep reading, you pronounce it like regular Tanween. You say Zakatan. Salatan. Huh? Pronounce it like regular tanween if you continue reading. But if you stop on it, here's where it goes away from the original rule of words that end with two fatta. You don't pronounce it like elongation. But rather, you do not pronounce the tanween, nor do you pronounce the tarmabuta like ta. But rather, you pronounce it like ha. Alright, so if you stop on it, you're going to say, Zakah, Salah, Mecca. Huh? If you stop on it, you're not going to pronounce the ta, you're not going to pronounce elongation, nor are you going to pronounce tanween. You're not going to pronounce any of that. You're just going to stop like there's a ha at the end of the word. Tayyib? Okay, that's what we already reviewed in lesson 44 and 45. In lesson 46 and 47, we dealt with something else. Does anybody remember what we dealt with in lesson 46 and 47? We dealt with words that end with a certain type of aleph. Remember we said there's two types of aleph. Huh? What are they? Aleph maqsura. And aleph, what's the other one? Yeah, standing one. What's the name of it though? Okay, we'll excuse you. Sometimes I forget your name, don't blame me. Alright, it's aleph mamduda. Okay, now I gotta remember your name. طيب جيد احسنت الف ممدوده الف مقصوره الف ممدوده is a regular alif that we've been seeing all the time. It's just a regular alif, like in the beginning of the alphabet you see the alif there with the hamza written on top of it. It's just regular alif. Alif مقصوره is also alif, just like alif ممدوده. When you read a word that has it, you read it the same way you read alif ممدوده, but the only difference is written differently. It's written in the form of a what? What is the form of alif maqsura? How does it look, ya Hamza? Alif maqsura, what does it look like? Not sure? Okay, that's a good answer. Alhamdulillah. That's better than guessing.
Like, which one? The alif
maqsura. Maqsura. Qaf and saad. Maqsura. Naam. What does it look like?
It's like a ya without the dots.
It's like a ya without the dots. Stop. That's it. Go any further, you might crash. It's like ya without the two dots of ya. Looks just like ya. But it's different from ya in a few ways. Number one, it's different from ya in that it doesn't have two dots. Number two, it's different from ya in that it can only be at the end of a word. This alif maqsur can't be in the beginning or the middle of a word. It can only be the last letter of a word. It can only be at the end. And what else is different? It has to be preceded by a fatha. The letter ya can be preceded by a fatha, can be preceded by a dhamma, can be preceded by a kasra. We know if it's preceded by a kasra, it means it's elongation of kasra, right? Kasra is longer than ya. If it's preceded by a fatha, it's what? Fatha. If ya is preceded by fatha, what is it? It's fatha and ya. That's two different vowel sounds. Combination of two different vowel sounds. What do we call it? Diphthong. Diphthong. Look, the letter ya, we know that it can be preceded by kasra for elongation. Can be preceded by fatha. Two different vowel sounds, that's a diphthong. Sometimes it even could be preceded by dhamma, which is also a diphthong. Dhamma ya. Okay? There are some words in the Quran you'll see dhamma followed by ya, especially if the ya has a shadda. Suyirat, like suyirat. So, yeah. So, yeah. Two different vowel sounds. You combine them. Now, something like that. So, yi. What's important here, though, is that we want to distinguish alif maqsura from ya, the letter ya. Alif maqsura is always at the end of a word. It's always preceded by a fatha. And it doesn't have the two dots of ya. Okay? What is alif maqsura? It's alif. Just written a different way. It's what? It's an alif just written different than the regular alif mamduda. It's written like a ya, in the shape of a ya. It doesn't have two dots. It's always at the end of a word. It must be preceded by a fatha. Because what? Fatha is elongated by alif. And this is alif. Alif maqsura. Jayid? When you read a word that has alif maqsura, it's just like reading a word that has alif mamduda. You read it exactly the same way. It's two count fatha elongated by alif. Two count. That's it. Nothing tricky about it. Just written in a different form. Because of the origin of the word, they write it with alif maqsura. Okay, that's different. Origin of words we're not talking about now. But I'm saying there's a reason why it's written this in this form than the other form. But the way you read it the same way. It's written like a regular alif. That being said, if a word ends with alif maqsura, and it's preceded by a fatha, right? Then we will read it the same way we will read a word that ends with a fatha followed by alif mamduda. We'll read it the same way. And likewise, if a word ends with two fatha and is followed by alif maqsura, the same way if it was followed by alif mamduda, the same rule applies. Word that ends with tanween, right? Ends with tanween. But instead of alif mamduda being written after it, there's the alif maqsura written after it. There's no difference in the rule. There's no difference. Meaning, if you continue reading, you pronounce it as a regular tanween. Like you say, Mawlan. Mawlan. Okay, Meem, Fatta, Waw, Sukoon. Maw. Lam, Fattatain, Tanween, Alif Maksura. Mawlan. If you continue reading, you read it like a regular tanween. But if you stop on it, how are you going to read it? Mawla. You read it like, it's the Fatta is being elongated by Alif. Instead of Alif Mamdud, Alif Maksura. Same thing. Same rule that we had in the beginning, 44 and 45, same rule here. Okay? It's just that in this case, the Aleph, instead of Aleph being Aleph Mamdud, it's Aleph Maksura. Okay? The same rule applies. If you continue reading, read it like Tanween. Let me see what examples they gave here. I'm trying not to use the board because we don't have any thing to write with. Okay, look. For example, in lesson 45, oops. In lesson 45, 46, 47. Okay, lesson 47 on page 91. We have on the first line, Hudan. Ha, Dhamma, Dal, Fattatain. Followed by Alif Maksura. Hudan. If we stopped on that, we will pronounce it how? Huda. Then we have, second word, Mawlan. If we stopped on it, we pronounce it what? Mawla. Then we have, Sudan. Seen, Dhamma, Dal, Fattatain. Followed by Alif Maksura. Sudan. If we stopped on it, we will say what? Suda. And likewise, the last word, Duhan. Duhan. If we stopped on it, we say? Duha. Tayyib. And to the end of the second line, same thing. Okay? So, the only thing that we're saying here is that Alif Maksura is read and pronounced the same as Alif Mamduda. Huh? No, it's okay. It's okay. We have some here. We have plenty of them, but they lost them when they were doing the work. They're here somewhere, inshallah. It's no problem. It's no problem. Okay? So, the only thing we're saying here is that this Aleph, Maksura, the reading rule for it is the same as the rule for Aleph Mamduda. If you have a Tanween, Fatta, two Fatta, Fattatain, if you stop on it, you pronounce it as though the fatta of the tanween is being elongated by the alif. Except that the alif here, instead of being alif mamdud, it's alif maksura. Okay? Fayyib, that's 47. And this is what we already covered previously in our review. Meaning we studied these lessons and we already reviewed them before. So now we want to continue with our review. How much time we have left? Fayyib, jayyid, that's not bad. We're doing good then. All right. Lesson number 48. Lesson number 48. It says, new element, Hamzatul Wasl. The Aleph without, that's on page 92. The Aleph without the sign of the Hamza. The Aleph without the sign of Hamza is called Hamzatul Wasl. It is pronounced only when it is not preceded by another word. When preceded, it is dropped in pronunciation, but not in writing. To indicate its omission, this sign is placed above it. Okay, what are we saying here? Two things. We're saying that there are two types of Hamza. Does anybody remember what the two types of Hamza are? What's the names of them? Two types of Hamza. Hamza til what? Wasl. And? Hamza til qat. Okay, the two types of Hamza. The regular Hamza, Hamza til Qat, is this Hamza that's written on top of Alif, that we normally see, that we saw in all the lessons before. We saw it in a lot of lessons before. Hamza til Qat. It's written like a little, like the top of an Ayn. The letter Ayn, it's written like the top of the letter Ayn, but small. Okay, it's usually written on top of an Alif, or it could be written on top of Waw, or it could be written on top of Ya, or it could be written without a seat, right? And we had a lot of lessons dealing with Hamza. 5 or 6 or 7 lessons previously. So now we're just telling you that there's Hamzatul Qat that we studied already, and there's also Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl is written, it looks like the sign, it looks like the shape of the beginning part of the letter Saad. The letter Saad. Just like the letter Saad, but the rest of the letter is discontinued. Like this part of the letter, this part is not there, it's just the top part, that loop part. Okay, it's written just like that. It's like you write in Saad in the beginning form. And then you don't continue the rest of it. It looks just like that. But it's written small. Okay? That's called Hamzatul Wasl. Wasl means wasala, to connect, to join, to continue something. Wasl here means to connect what's before the Hamzatul Wasl to whatever is behind the Hamzatul Wasl. Whatever's before to whatever follows it. Join them together. Hamzatul Wasl is a connector. It joins what's before to what's after it. That's if there's something before it. If there's nothing before it, then we pronounce the vowel of Hamzatul Wasl. We pronounce it. Whether it's Fatha, Kasra, or Dhamma. Okay, we pronounce the vowel that's written with the Hamzatul Wasl. But if there's something before, okay, forget about it. We're just using it as a connector here. Connecting what's before to what's after it. That's Hamzatul Wasl. Okay, what we want to know about Hamzatul Wasl is that Hamzatul Wasl is most commonly seen in words that are definite, that have alif lam. Because the alif of the alif lam of the definite article in Arabic, al kitab or al bait. That al, alif lam, the alif there is Hamzatul Wasl. We pronounce it with a fatha, right? We say al kitab. But that fatha is really just added to the word for pronunciation. So whenever there's something before it, we don't need that vowel anymore. So we look at that alif and the Hamzatul Wasl, we say that's just a connector to join whatever's before it to whatever's after it. Okay, like for example, in Bismillah, right? Bismillah, the first letter is ba, with kasra, right? And the second letter is seen and meme. Seen and meme is the word ism. Ism means name. Ism, name, it begins with sukoon. Seen with sukoon. You can't read a word that begins with sukoon. So we add a Hamzatul Wasl just to pronounce it. When we put a kasra on it, we say ismun. But because this word is so commonly written, Bismillah, it's so commonly written for the Muslims, so the alif, they just didn't write it. So we don't need to write it, the Hamzatul Wasl. Because Hamzatul Wasl is only connected anyway. So we're not going to write it here. We're just going to connect the kasra that would be before the Hamzatul Wasl to the seen that's after the Hamzatul Wasl. We just connect them directly and leave out the alif. Just for shorthand. But normally you have to write the Hamzatul Wasl. Even if you don't pronounce it, you have to write it. But in few words like this, Bismillah, okay, they don't write it. They don't write the Hamzatul Wasl. Originally, there should be Hamzatul Wasl there. But we're not writing it in Bismillah. Okay, but in other words, you're going to write it. In other words, you have to write it. Even if you don't pronounce it, you have to write it. If there's something before, you're not going to pronounce it. But if you stop on whatever's before and then begin with the Hamzatul Wasl, you got to pronounce it. With whatever vowel it should take. A Dhamma or Kasra or Fatha. Alright? Allah Musta'an. You make me work now. Barakallahu feekum. We don't have anybody that can connect it. I don't know anybody who can do it. I asked a few times, but nobody brought anybody. So we're still in the same position. But in any case, we can see in the book here, right? We can see in our book, if you look at lesson number 48, page 92. You can see that on the top of the page, there's an alif written. There's an alif written like this with a hamza, with a fatha. Okay, that's Hamzatul Qat. Then there's another alif written with a fatha, and there's no hamza written. There's no sign of hamza. This is the sign of hamza. Okay, this little sign here, which looks like what? It looks like the top of the letter Ayn. Looks like the top of the letter Ayn. Okay? But instead of continuing, completing the letter, that's what Hamza looks like, but it's small. So, the Hamzatul Qat is written in words where it's actually a part of the word. And you have to pronounce it. No matter whether you begin with it, or you pause on it, or there's something before, you have to pronounce that Hamzatul Qat. But Hamzatul Wasl, if there's something before, it's only going to be a connector. You're going to connect whatever is before to whatever is after it. Normally words that begin with Alif Lam are written with Hamzatul Wasl. So whenever you see an alif, whenever you see an alif that has a vowel, whether it's a fatha, kasra, or a dhamma, but there's no hamza symbol written there, that means that's hamzatul wasl. That means that that hamza is only a connector. If you begin with it, you got to pronounce this vowel. If you don't begin with it, you just join whatever's before it to whatever's after it. That's simple, really. Okay, it's hamzatul qat, hamzatul wasl. Hamzatul qat, you always got to pronounce it. Hamzatul wasl, you only pronounce it if you need it. If you begin with that word, then you pronounce this vowel. Otherwise, it's just a connector. Now, hamzatul qat is the regular hamza that we study throughout the book. Okay, this is hamzatul qat, this right here. Sometimes it's written on alif, sometimes it's written on waw, sometimes it's written on ya, sometimes it's written with no seat. Huh? Sometimes it's written with no seat. We have 5 or 6 or 7 lessons dealing with hamzatul qat. When it's written on alif, when it's written on waw, when it's written on ya, when it's written with no seat, when it has no vowel, sukoon, when it's followed by an elongation of the fatha of the hamza. When you have alif, when you have alif, right? When you have alif with hamza and the vowel of it is fatha and it's followed by an alif of elongation, instead of two alifs, what do? Just write one alif. With this little symbol here, that means that that is the alif, that's the seat for hamza, that has the vowel fatha, that's been elongated by alif. Just means you pronounce it, I write it for short, one alif like this. We had separate lessons on every one of these points. Okay, so we should know hamzatul qat very good by now. Hamzatul wasl is what we're looking at in this lesson here. Okay, hamzatul wasl. Hamzatul wasl means that you have a word that begins with a sukoon, like the word ism. Begins with sukoon. You can't begin with a word in Arabic like that. So we put this hamzatul here, hamzatul wasl. We put a vowel on it, just for pronunciation. So you say ismun. Okay, but if there's something before it, then you don't need this vowel anymore. So you go straight from here, right, to what's before the hamzatul wasl, to what's after it. Okay, you just join and connect it. Okay. Okay, let's look quickly at lesson number 48. This is the lesson that we're doing today. This is number 48 on page 92, line number 1. The first word on line number 1 is al-baytu. 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 This word, the L here, is the definite article that means the house. Okay? The definite article in Arabic, alif, lam, the alif in that word is really hamzatul wasl. So we pronounce that as a fatha whenever we begin with a word with that. But if there's ever something before, we're not going to pronounce that fatha of al. We're going to pronounce whatever vowel is before it. Okay? And it will just be a connector. The second word, ibnun. Ibnun begins with ba with sukoon. So we're adding hamzatul wasl. And this vowel is kasra. So we're saying ibnun. Same thing, ismun. Notice that the first word, the hamzatul wasl, is taking fatha. In the second and third word, the hamzatul wasl is taking kasra. And in the fourth word, the hamzatul wasl is taking dhamma. Usjud. This is the command form. Fi'l amr. Usjud means what? What does usjud mean from sajada? Usjud. Prostrate. Prostrate. Usjud. Usjud. Okay? In this word, because of the construction of the word and the form of the word, of this verb, okay, from sajada, yasjudu, so the vowel that's added to the hamzatul wasl here is dhamma. You don't need to know why, okay, for now at this level. But anyway, there's a reason for it. Okay, if it was a different combination, like shariba, yashrabu, then it would be ishrab. It would take a kasra. Okay, and so on. So the vowel can change. Usjud. And the last one is ihdina. And this is a word that we're all familiar with, right? Ihdina. Huh? Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. This is also command form. Ihdi. Ihdi. Ihdina. Guide us. Ihdina. And he is taking kasra. The only thing that we want to know about this is that hamzatul wasl, as we will see in the second line, we read the words in the second line, we'll see that hamzatul wasl, if you begin with it, you have to pronounce this vowel. But if something is before, we're not going to pronounce the vowel. We're just going to join what's before to what's after. So if you look at line 2, you see Ibni, Ibni, and then you see Wabnuka, Wabnuka. Okay, the second word Wabnuka is Waw Fatta Hamzatul Wasl. Ba Sukoon, Noon Dhamma, Kaf Fatta. What we want to note is the Waw with Fatta followed by Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl is joining the Fatta of the Waw to the Ba with Sukoon. Joining it. So you just say Wab, as though the Aleph of Hamzatul Wasl is not even there. Wab. Wabnuka. And the same thing we see in the next combination of words, you see, ismuka. You're pronouncing the kasra of ismuka because you're beginning with it. But the second word, wasmi. Waw fatta hamzatul wasl, seen with sukoon. You're joining the waw, the fatta of the waw, to the seen with sukoon, as though the alif of hamzatul wasl is not there. It's just a connector. So you're saying, wasmi. If that waw wasn't there, you would pronounce a kasra with that word. You would say ismi. Like if somebody said to you, masmuka, you say ismi Muhammad. Ismi Muhammad, right? That kasra, because it's preceded by waw, we don't need the kasra anymore. So you say wasmi. Okay, because hamzatul wasl is just a connector here. Unless you begin with it. If you begin with it, you got to pronounce this waw. Okay? Tayyib. And the last line we have is Al Waktub. And the same rule, the second word, Waktub, Waw Fatta, Hamzatul Wasl, followed by Kaf with Sukoon. So you're saying Wak, as though the Aleph of Hamzatul Wasl is not there. You're just saying Waktub. Is Al Waktub. Ask and write. Ask your question and then write the answer. So you don't have to ask it again next week. Okay, the last combination, Uktub Was'al. Uktub, the Dhamma of the first word is for Hamzatul Wasl. We pronounce it because there's nothing before. So we're saying Uktub. The next one, we have Waw, Fatta, Hamzatul Wasl, seen with Sukoon. So what we're going to do, we're going to join the Fatta of the Waw to the scene with sukoon, you're saying was-al. Was-al. Notice that was-al is the same word at the beginning of this line. Is-al. But when we begin with, we're pronouncing the vowel. Is-al. But if there's something before, we don't need the vowel. So we're just saying was-al. Huh? Same exact word. If you begin with it, you have to pronounce it with a vowel. That hamzatul wasl. But if there's something before, you don't need the vowel. You just use the hamzatul wasl as a connector. Tayyib. Any question about Hamzatul Wasl? Hamzatul Wasl is a type of Hamza. It's not originally a part of a word. It's added for pronunciation. You only pronounce it if you need it. When do you need it? If you begin with it. But if there's anything before it, any word or letter before it, you only use it as a connector to connect whatever is the last vowel before it to the first vowel after it, first consonant after it. It's written but not pronounced, if there's something before it. If you begin with it, then you have to pronounce a vowel with it. Okay? But if you have any, if you read anything before it, you just use it as a connector. Okay? It has to be written, but it's only pronounced if you begin with that word. If you was to stop on the word before it, and then begin reading again with the Hamzatul Wasl, you got to pronounce the vowel. But if you continue reading, you don't pronounce the vowel. Okay? Just join it. Okay? That's Hamzatul Wasl. Any question about Hamzatul Wasl? Hamzatul Wasl is written like the beginning of the letter Saad. If you're writing in its beginning form, initial form, in the beginning of a word, the letter Saad looks just like that, except that it's written small. Okay, that's how you. That's what the Hamzatul Wasl looks like. Hamzatul Qat looks like the beginning of the letter Ayn, the top of the letter Ayn, but it's written small. If there's no question, that means we got it this time. It's always above Aleph, yeah. Naam. The Hamzatul Wasl, naam. No, it's not always Fatah. The vowel for Hamza Tawassul could be Fatah, could be Kasra, could be Dhamma. Look at the examples that we read. Hamza Tulqat? No, Hamza Tulqat can take any vowel. Hamza Tulqat is a consonant. Huh? Remember, brothers, remember, sisters. Remember, when we were going over the alphabet every week, remember? We said the first letter of the alphabet is Aleph, but really, Aleph is not a consonant. That's why we have a Hamza written on top of it. Aleph is not a consonant. Aleph is a seed for Hamza, or it's elongation of Fatah. It's not a consonant. Okay? As far as the Hamza, Hamza is a consonant. And a consonant can take any vowel, Fatah, Kasra, or Dhamma, just like Ba, or Ta, or Tha, or any other consonant. At the end, Naam. Okay, Hamza is a consonant. It can take any vowel, Fatah, Kasra, Dhamma, or it can take Sukoon, if it has no vowel. As far as Aleph, it's not a consonant. Aleph is not a consonant. It's a letter of the Arabic alphabet. It's not a consonant. It cannot take a vowel of its own. Huh? It's a letter. Aleph is a letter of the alphabet. The difference between a letter and a consonant. A consonant can take vowels, and a letter may not take vowels. If it's not a consonant. Every consonant is a letter, but not every letter is a consonant. Anyway, don't worry about it. The only letter that we have a problem here with is Aleph. The rest of the letters, we don't have any problem with them. Just Aleph. Okay, so just try to always distinguish Aleph and Hamza. Aleph is the seat for Hamza. Just like Ya and Wow. The difference is that Ya and Wow are also consonants that can take a vowel of their own, and Aleph cannot. Tayyib, if you go back and look at your notes, inshallah, you will find that we have mentioned this on numerous occasions. Tayyib? Okay, that's lesson 48. And this is review, brothers and sisters, this is review. And I sent these notes out to you from the last 10 chapters. I sent them out to you before. And in case you didn't get them before, I sent them out again. This week, yesterday or today, I don't know when I sent it. It could have been last night or this morning at Veggie Time, I don't remember. Sometime today. So if you don't have these notes in the last 10 chapters, look at your email. You should have it. If you didn't get it before, it's there now. And the reason why I sent the notes is in case you don't write well, if you don't take good notes, everything is written out for you. Everything that I'm talking about right here, in each one of these lessons, is explained in detail with examples. Clear, easy to read, and easy to follow way. So anything you don't remember now, it's there, written for you. All you gotta do is open up your email and read it. Tayyib, so whatever you missed today, inshallah you're gonna find it in those notes. But you're gonna find nothing different in notes, except the notes are gonna be a little bit more clear. Because I may be speaking a little bit quickly sometimes. I'm going to slow down a little bit. But you can read at your own pace. Tayyib, lesson number 49, page 94. New element. The Aleph is omitted in writing with certain frequently used words. For example, we should be reading from right to left. Line number one. I'll skip the box and go right down to line number one. Ilahun. Okay, the word Ilahun means what? What is the meaning of ilahun? Tayyib. Ilahun. A god. Naam. A god, right? This word originally is written with an aleph. Ilahun. Okay, it's written Hamza Kasra Lam Fatta Aleph. Ilah Ha Tanween. Ilahun. Right, that's how it's originally written. But in certain frequently used Arabic words, the aleph in those words, here in this word, is deleted. They don't write it. So sometimes you may see a little mark, this line above it like this, like you see in the word Allah, which we will come to in another lesson. Sometimes you see that, or sometimes you won't, but it doesn't matter. These are words that are very, very frequently used in Arabic language, and you just memorize. When you see those words, you know that that word has a long vowel, even though there's no aleph written. Okay, it's pronounced as though there's an aleph here. Ilahun. Lam fatta aleph. It's pronounced like there's an aleph, but we don't write the aleph. Okay, it's written without the aleph. It's actually written like it is in the book, just like this. Ilahun, without aleph. But it's pronounced as though it's aleph. Okay, so there are words in Arabic language that are written like that. From amongst the most common of them is ilahun. Another one is dhalika. Okay, this very common word in Arabic language, right? Dhalika. Like in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. What's the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah? Alif, Lam, Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ ذَلِكَ ذَلِكَ is written like this, but actually it's pronounced as though it's فَتَّ أَلِف. ذَلِكَ. Okay, it's pronounced as though it's فَتَّ أَلِف. The فَتَّ أَلِف is the way it should be read, the way it should be pronounced, although we're not going to write the أَلِف. We're not going to write أَلِف, okay? And the same thing, as you can see in the book, there's the word هَذَا. هَذَا. It's written هَا فَتَّ ذَلْ فَتَّ أَلِف. Okay? There are actually two long vowels here, but only one of them is written. هَا فَتَّ. It should be pronounced as though there's an أَلِف following it. هَا ذَلْ فَتَّ أَلِف ذَا. It's pronounced هَذَا. Two long vowels, but it's written with only one long vowel. It's written with one long vowel, but it's pronounced with two. هَذَا. Which means what? This or this is. Now. And هذه is the feminine form of that, right? هذه. It's written without the aleph, but it's pronounced هذه. Okay? And the last word they gave is لكن. لكن. The lam, فتّة, is pronounced with an aleph after it, but the aleph is not written. So we pronounce it لكن. Okay, so what are we saying in this lesson here? We're not saying much. All we're saying is that there are certain frequently used words in Arabic language in which the aleph in those words of elongation is not written, but you have to pronounce it. Okay, so you learn those words. Whenever you see them, even though you don't see no aleph written there, you pronounce it as though there's an aleph. Okay, you say, هَذَا, هَذِهِ, لَكِنَّ, إِلَاهٌ, like this. That's it. I should ask, are there any questions? But I don't want to ask. I hope there are no questions. Naam, Abdurrahim. Bilal Abdurrahim. Bilal Abdurrahim Ibni Abdurrahim Bilal. Second generation. Naam. Okay. Uh-huh.
And
meaning sometimes there's a consonant that doesn't have a vowel, but they don't write sukun. They don't write sukun. So you know if you don't see no vowel there, khalas, it's sukun.
You can't fully pronounce it, right?
Well, you can't pronounce a letter that has sukun by itself. That's why the rule for sukun, right? What do we say the rule for sukun? A consonant that doesn't have a vowel sound is, has sukun. We say, how do you pronounce that? You connect it to with the letter before it and make one syllable, right? Because you have to connect it to something. So you either got to put something before it or you got to connect it to something after it, one or the other. You got to connect it with something. You can't pronounce a consonant without a vowel because the vowel is the vocalization of the consonant. Without a vowel sound, you can't really pronounce it. You could attempt to pronounce it partially, but full pronunciation can't do. You have to have a vowel sound. Okay, that's why they call them harakat. Because they give motion to the letter. They will let it move so you can say it. Without the harakat, difficult. Sayyid? Naam, Abu Bakr. Did you get your books from the class gift?
Yes.
Okay. Somehow I had you in my mind. Okay. Again, I don't understand the question. In the word either, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُهُ فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُهُ. Hamzatul Qat is pronounced. It depends. Hamzatul Qatl, it depends on whether you reading the word continue or you stop on it. Depends on if you stop or you continue reading. Hamzatul Qatl, there's different rules, okay? We have to look at every example, okay? First thing, right, is that if you stop on a word, the general rule in Arabic language, okay? We don't want to get sidetracked with this, okay? Because it's not really our topic of discussion now. General rule is that when you stop on a word, the last letter of that word, you don't pronounce its vowels. You don't pronounce the vowel. Okay? That's good? We don't pronounce the vowel. Unless it's a tanween with two fatah. If it's tanween with two fatah, then you do pronounce it. If you stop on it, you pronounce it what? As though it's fatah alif. Okay? So if there's a hamzatul qatl at the end of the word, and it has two dhammas, you're not going to pronounce it. If it has two kasras, you're not going to pronounce it. But if it has two fatah, you are going to pronounce it. You can pronounce it as though it's fatah alif. Even though there's no alif written after it. That's what we just got finished talking about. I think you weren't here when we talked about it, but you, well, we had this before. Okay? So that's the general rule. The general rule is that any word in the Arabic language, when you stop on it, the last letter, its vowel is not pronounced. Whether it's a single vowel or ten, you don't pronounce the last vowel. Exception to that is what? Words that end with two fatah. Tanween fatah. If you stop on it, you do pronounce it. You pronounce it as though it's elongation, fatah alif. Unless, one exception, if the word ends with tarmabuta. The word ends with tarmabuta, with fatah tain, then we don't pronounce anything, except you pronounce it as ha. So that's what you do with the hamza. Okay, that's your rule for hamza, that's it. Okay, what you will hear, what you will hear if you listen carefully, if a word ends with hamza to qat, and there's a long vowel before it, you will hear a stop that distinguishes a word that ends with, for example, fatah alif, with no hamza, and the word that ends with fatah alif with a hamza. You'll hear this different in the way it stops, because the hamza is a what? Hamza is a glottal stop. If you pronounce the hamza, it means you got to close the air passage and then reopen it. So in order for you to do that, you're going to stop the word short. So it's going to sound different than if you just have fatah alif with no hamza til qat. It's just a flowing sound, an easy stop. But here's the abrupt stop. That's the difference that you're going to hear. That's what you hear. If you're hearing something different, that's what you're hearing. Okay, that's what you should hear if you listen carefully. But if you listen carefully, you're not even going to notice that. Normally people don't even know that there's a difference. But that's the difference. Hamza to qat means you have to stop abruptly. If there's no hamza to qat, then it's a flowing sound. Tayyib. Okay, so this is a rule, right? This is the rule of frequently used Arabic words in which the alif is not written but is pronounced. Then, in the next chapter, we have the opposite rule. In the next lesson, we have the opposite rule. In lesson 50, we have certain words are written with extra letters which are not pronounced. The letters are written but they're not pronounced. And he gives some examples. Ulu, uli, and ulaika. In these words, the waw is not pronounced. Note also that in the word ulaika, the alif has been omitted from the lam of ulaika. The alif is not written, but it's pronounced. You have to pronounce it as though it's a long vowel. Ula. But there's no alif written there. That's the rule what? That's the rule of the chapter 49, where there's a letter that's not written but it's pronounced. But in this chapter we're talking about what? In this lesson we're talking about letters that are written but not pronounced. The opposite rule. Okay, so they give you four examples here. They give you four, and they also said in the word mi'atun, the aleph is not pronounced. In the word mi'a, it's pronounced, it's written mim kasra aleph. Hamza, fatta, tarmabuta, tanween. The mim fatta, mim kasra aleph. The aleph is not pronounced. So you say mi atun. Mi atun. The aleph is not pronounced. So in these words, either the waw is not pronounced, or in the last word, the aleph is not pronounced. And the rule here is that there are words in the Arabic language which have letters which are written, but they are not pronounced. Letters written, has to be written, but you don't pronounce it. Okay, you have to know these words. In the Quran, it's easy, because in the Quran, they will put a little symbol there to tell you. Like in the Mus'haf of Medina, you'll see a little circle. But it's a little bit slanted. It's not straight up and down. Slanted circle. That means that When that's written over a letter, it's written over the huruf illah. The letters, the weak letters in the Arabic language, alif, waw, and ya. Whenever you see that little circle, slanted circle written over alif, a waw, or ya, means that letter is not to be pronounced. Has to be written, but it's not going to be pronounced. Okay? So for example, on line 1, on page 95, lesson 50, we see a word that's written with hamza, dhamma, waw, lam, dhamma, waw. Okay? We have hamza, waw, lam, dhamma, waw. Okay? The first waw in this word, the first waw is not pronounced. So instead of saying ulu, don't make too long vowels. You say ulu, ulu. Short vowel, and then the second one is pronounced. Okay, so this here is not pronounced, as though it's not there. It's u, lu. And the same thing in the next word, uli. Okay, here we have dhamma with a wow that's not pronounced. Lam, kasra, yeah. So this is not a long vowel here. This is u. And the second one, lam, kasra, yeah, is li. So it's not pronounced uli. It's not pronounced like that. It's pronounced u. Li, uli. Okay, that's the way it's pronounced. And the same thing with ulaika, dhamma. It's hamza, dhamma, waw. That waw is not elongation, it's not pronounced. And then it's lam, fatta, which should be pronounced as though there's an aleph following it. Even though the aleph is not written, then it's hamza, kasra, and then it's kaf, fatta. So it looks like, if you look at it, you would think it's pronounced, oh, La-i-ka. O-la-i-ka. Three short vowels. But in reality, the first one is short and the second one is long. It's not o-la, it's o-la. Short and then long. The wow that's written is not pronounced and the aleph that's not written is pronounced. O-la-i-ka. O-la-i-ka. Yeah, there will be a sign there to let you know to elongate it. Like for example, you see in this word, you see for example, after this fatha here, you may see this little sign like this written in the word Allah. And you will also see a sign like this to tell you that it's extra elongation because it's followed by hamza. Because whenever you have a long vowel followed by hamza, it's extra elongation. It's 4 or 5 counts mandatory elongation. Whenever a long vowel is followed by hamza, or followed by sukoon, mandatory elongation. Okay? So you'll see something there to tell you, that little straight line to tell you that's a long vowel, even though no aleph is actually written there. Okay, you'll see that. Now, and once you start reading the Quran under somebody you're reading to somebody, they'll tell you, oh, you gotta make that long. And then you'll see that there's something there to tell you. And then once you see it and you get used to it, you know that whenever you see that khalas, you just make it long. But you gotta practice now. No.
Lesson 50 is what
the whole sound. Lesson 50 is telling us that the wow or certain letters are written but not pronounced.
And then in the second word, now you have to go back to lesson 49.
Well, in that word, actually, both rules are applied from lesson 49 and lesson 50.
Right,
in that one word, two rules are there. There's a letter that's written that's not pronounced, and there's a letter that's pronounced that's not written. Okay? And it sounds a little complicated. Letters written, not pronounced. Another one is not pronounced, written. What is this? Confusion sounds like. Actually, once you learn the rule and you get used to it, it's easy. What you have to do is you have to open up your mushaf and start looking for words. Whenever you learn a new rule, you gotta look for the words that rule came in. And you gotta start applying it. And once you start applying it, it becomes simple. The first place you apply it to the surahs that you memorize. Surahs that you memorize, go every rule that you learn, look in those surahs, see if there's something there. If it's in there, identify that, mark that, point that out. Oh, this is that rule. So now when you start reading that surah, you know why you're saying this. Or you know why you should have been saying this. And you probably were saying it wrong, because you didn't know the rule. So you correct yourself and you know why you have to change it. Alright? So you have to practice. Okay, so these two rules are simple rules. It's just a matter of knowing the words and knowing the sounds, the symbols that identify these special reading rules. When you see it in the Mus'haf, you see the symbol that tells you that this is what you're supposed to do with this, and you just try to start practicing it. Reading, reading, reading. Ramadan is the time for you to practice. The Quran, you should open up the Quran every day and read as much as you can. There's no doubt that we, basically, should be reading the English translation of the Quran, so that we could benefit from the guidance in the Quran. So you read in Arabic and you don't know what you're reading, of course there's reward, but we want guidance too, we don't just want reward. So inshallah you're going to read in Arabic, for improving your Arabic, and getting the thawab of reading the word of Allah, the speech of Allah in Arabic language. But also you have to read it in English. If you don't read in English, and end of the month you spend a lot of time reading Quran, but I mean, we need to be guided. The Quran was sent as a guidance, not just to be recited. Unfortunately today the people have gone to the other extreme. That is, the other extreme is that they recite Quran a lot without any consideration of the meaning. Not even no reflection, no contemplation. We do speed reading. We do speed salat. We do all kind of rush stuff. We're in a hurry to just get to the end. But we don't get no benefit from that. In reality, Allah knows best if there's any benefit whatsoever in it. Because originally there's benefit in reciting the Quran. Even if you don't know the meaning of it. But if you recite it properly, the way it's supposed to be recited. But if that stuff right there, Allah knows best if the salat is even accepted. That's what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said. He said, we fear that maybe the salat is batila. That's not even valid. Because you can't pray like that. That's not the way Allah legislated that we perform prayer. The way people speed through the salat. You can't even say Subhana Rabbiyal Azim one time in ruku. And already people are coming up. Before you could get to prostration, they're already sitting up in between two prostrations. You can't even get to the position. This is how people are praying today. In many places. In many places. So what I'm saying is that at this time, we should be concentrating on getting the guidance from the Quran. But at the same time, we should be reading the Arabic too. Because now, alhamdulillah, we can read the Quran in Arabic. That was our objective when we started this class. We said, this Ramadan, inshallah, we're going to read the Quran in Arabic. We said that, if anybody was here in the beginning, right? We said, this Ramadan, we're going to be reading the Mus'haf in Arabic. And that's what we should be doing now, alhamdulillah. We're able to do that. Alright? So please, practice, practice, practice. Especially in Ramadan, a good time. Keep your Quran open all the time. All the time. This is the best thing you could be doing in Ramadan. Is reading the Quran. Of course, there are other things to read and learn. I mean, we can read from the Sunnah, we can read about the Seerah, we can read, you know, a lot of things. But the most first thing, start with Quran. Naam, any question about these two rules? 49 and 50. Words which have letters which are not written. You just gotta learn those words. It's not a lot of words. And once you get familiar with those, these are some of the most common of them. And there are a few others that you see here and there, and you just memorize them. Khalas, whenever you see them, just remember that you have to read this word with a letter that's not written. The same thing here, if you read in the Mus'haf, it's easy to know. Because there's a little circle, like I said, like a zero, that's slanted a little bit on the side, to indicate that these letters, whether it's Waw or Aleph or Ya, whatever letter it is from those three letters, that letter, though it's written, it's not pronounced. Now, question? Ibrahim? Huh? Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, lesson number 51, page 96. New element. In the word Allah, لفظ الجلالة, Allah, and لِلَّهِ, the aleph is not written. The actual forms of these words are like this, okay? And you see written in very, very small print the way that these words are pronounced. Okay, the word Allah is written with Aleph, Lam, and then Lam Aleph. Okay, Allah. Like there's a Lam Aleph, Fatah Aleph. With Shadda on the Lam. Allah. Who? Then Ha and Dhamma. The second word is written with Lam, and then Lam, with a Shadda, Aleph. Lam Aleph. Lam and Lam Aleph. And the Lam, the second Lam has Shadda. So it's pronounced Lillahi. Okay, the lam aleph, the aleph in the lam aleph is the elongation of the fatah of the second lam. Lillahi. Okay, the first thing that we want to say here is that these two words are common in Arabic language, and because they are from frequently used words, like we had in the lesson two lessons ago, that they're words that are frequently used in Arabic language, have letters which are not written but they are pronounced, this comes under that rule. Okay, but these are two special words, so they're singled out. Okay, these are two special words that are singled out, but they're under the same rule that we had in lesson 49. That is, frequently used words that have a letter which is not written but it's pronounced. So you're going to pronounce this, Lillahi. Allahu. Okay? Now, what I want to say about this, in addition to what's written here, I want to say one more thing, and that is the role of tarqiq and tafkheem. And we said in the notes that we sent out, and we sent them out again today in case you lost them or whatever, we said that the word Allah, lafz al-jalala, Allah, there are two words that the lam in this word can be pronounced. There are two ways that the lam can be pronounced. It can be pronounced with tafkheem, which means heavy, full mouth. You say Allah. Or it can be pronounced light with tarqiq. You say, fi sabilillah, bismillah, alhamdulillah. Okay, we don't say alhamdulillah. That's tafkheem. It's not tafkheem. Why? Because of the rule. The rule is what? Whenever the word Allah is preceded by kathra, then it's pronounced with tarqiq. It's light. That's why you say fi sabili, li sabili, fi sabilillah. Because it's kathra before the word Allah. Okay? We say alhamdulillah. Okay? We say bismillah. Because the meme has kathra before the word Allah, we say bismi, bismillah. We don't say bismillah. Okay? So that's the rule that we discussed previously, and we just mentioned it now, just to remind us that the rule is, whenever the word Allah is preceded by kasra, it's pronounced light. Okay? Bismillah. Tarqiq. But if it's preceded by dhamma or fatta, then it's pronounced heavy. Like you say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ هُوَ اللَّهُ هُوَ فَتَّ هُوَ فَتَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد اللَّهُ وَيْكُمْ سَرَامَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَد. Okay, same thing, you say what? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهُ نَصْرُ اللَّهُ نَصْرُ the ra has dhamma before the word Allah. Whenever it's preceded by fatha or dhamma, it's heavy. Nasrullah. It would be wrong to say, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Okay, you say, Nasrullah. Alright? So that's a simple rule. Whenever you see the word Allah, لَفْذَ الْجَلَالَ, this is the majestic expression that is the most important proper name of the Creator of the heavens and earth, the Lord of all the worlds, the only one that deserves worship, Allah. Whenever it's preceded by fatta or dhamma, you pronounce it with tafkheem. When it's preceded by kasra, you pronounce it light. Okay, the other thing they mention here is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the second line, Muhammadun Rasulullah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. There's idgham, Muhammadun. I had a tanween here. The rule for noon, sakin, and tanween, when it's followed by certain letters, there's idgham. So the noon sound is merged into the letter that follows it in certain cases. In this case, the ra is that letter from Yarmaluna. It's from the letters of idgham. So instead of saying Muhammadun Rasulullah, you don't say Muhammadun. The noon is merged. So you say Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Alright, so that's also, we mentioned that in our notes. And that's from the rules of noon, sakin, and tanween. And we didn't really go over those rules. We mentioned that there's four rules. Okay, whenever noon has sukun or tanween, depending on what letter is found, we're going to pronounce it according to one of these categories. Okay, sometimes we're going to pronounce the noon clear. You have to hear the noon. Sometimes we're going to pronounce the noon partially. That's ikhfa. Like we had in some of the surahs that we had, we said don't pronounce it completely, remember? So you got to pronounce it partially with a nasal sound. That's ikhfa. Sometimes we're going to merge it completely. The noon is going to be gone into the next letter, like here. We're going to say, instead of Muhammadun, we're going to say Muhammadur. No noon at all. And sometimes, we're going to change the noon into a different letter altogether. That's going to be a meme. We're going to change it into a meme. If it's followed by a ba, remember? We said when noon with sukoon or tanween is followed by a ba, you're going to see written over it a little meme. That little meme is to tell you don't pronounce noon, pronounce it as a meme. Okay, those are the rules of noon, sakin, and tanween. And we said inshallah in Ramadan we'll go over some of those rules after we finish the review. So we finish the review today, inshallah, we start with those rules. Okay, so this is lesson 51. It's just that these two words come under the same rule of lesson 49. And that is that they are letters in certain frequently used Arabic words that are not written, but you have to pronounce them. And the second rule that we went over here is that the word Allah is pronounced two different ways, depending on the vowel that precedes it, right? Okay, only two lessons remaining, inshallah. You want to finish or you want to go over surah? The last surah that we had. Just one person tell me what you want to do. Now there's ikhtilaf. Ikhtalaf al-ulama. Go over the surah. Okay. Okay. Now. Inshallah. Don't worry about it. How much is it worth to you? Huh? I'm saying, how much are you willing to pay for it? We're going to charge you whatever you're willing to pay for. How much? What do you think it's worth? That's too much. We're fair, but we don't cheat people. $10 is worth $10, yeah. We're going to give it to you for $3, inshallah. We'll give you the Ramadan bargain, inshallah. That's the last one. That's it. Huh? Now we finished all these. We finished. We had a lot of them. We bought about 50 or 60 of them. People keep buying them. Don't worry about it. Inshallah. Okay? Okay, look. We have two lessons remaining. Next week, inshallah, we're going to take them. Just look at the notes that I sent you. Read those two lessons, 52 and 53. And basically what these lessons are talking about, the 52 lesson is talking about that there are certain words in Arabic language where there's an aleph written that's not pronounced. Okay, that comes under the rule that we had before. What? The rule of words that have a letter that's written but not pronounced. Okay, but this is a special category. This is a special category. This is a special category of what? Of verbs. There are certain verbs in Arabic language. In this case, they're the third person plural, past tense, and third person plural, present tense, and second person command form. Okay, masculine. These verb forms are written with certain conditions. Huh? Okay. Alright, inshallah. Okay. They're written, what? With an aleph after them. We'll explain the rule for it next week, inshallah. But they're written with an aleph. The aleph is not pronounced. Okay? But if you look at these words carefully, you will notice. Or you might not notice, because you probably didn't study verbs yet. But if you did study verbs, you'll notice that all of these are verbs. They're different types of verbs. They're all plural forms though. Past tense, present tense, and command form. Third person and second person. But in any case, that's not so important. That just means that letter is not pronounced. You're going to see a little circle, a zero over it, slanted in the Quran to tell you don't pronounce that wow. And the last lesson is dealing with, we'll explain in detail next class. Last lesson is dealing with Hamzatul Wasl. That we talked about today, right? Hamzatul Wasl, whenever it is preceded by a long vowel, whether it's elongation of fatta by alif mamduda or alif maksura. Fatta elongated, kasra elongated by ya, or dhamma elongated by waw. Whenever you have Hamzatul Wasl and it's preceded by a long vowel, that long vowel is pronounced short. Don't pronounce it long. No, this is any place where you see a long vowel in Arabic language followed by a word that begins with Hamzatul Wasl, the long vowel is pronounced short. Okay, some surahs that we went over in the past weeks, remember we said, don't pronounce this letter, don't pronounce this letter, don't pronounce this letter. In some words, there was four letters that we didn't pronounce. One of them, the first one, it was because it was a long vowel followed by Hamzatul Wasl. And the second letter we didn't pronounce because it was the Hamzatul Wasl, which the aleph we don't pronounce, right? And the third one, it was the lam of Aleph Lam, which you don't pronounce if the letter found is a sun letter, right? So sometimes some of these type of letters that are not pronounced come back to back. So you might skip two or three or more letters, which you're not going to pronounce. And once you know the rule, then it becomes easy to understand why. This is one of the rules. One of the rules is what? that there's a long vowel followed by Hamzatul Wasl. Long vowel is pronounced short if it's followed by Hamzatul Wasl. And inshallah, we'll go over it in detail next week.